Let me pause right there and just introduce myself. My name is Justin. I get to be one of the pastors on staff here at Hope Church. Today, we're going to be continuing in our series, Been There, Done That, through the book of Ecclesiastes. So you can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That's where we'll be today. And what we're going to be looking at today is this idea that timing matters. And so as the kids just led us through the celebration of Jesus entering into Jerusalem, the beginning of Holy Week. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, that set off a series of events because the timing of all that mattered leading up to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But we know that timing matters in so many areas of our lives. It's just something that comes into place. We see that each and every different place. And some of you in this room are sports fans, right? And so sports fans, you know that timing matters. If you don't, let me show you this clip. Turn your attention to the screen and let's watch this together to see how timing matters.
Here's a swing and a high fly ball.
Big deal, right? It's just a home run. And it's not just a home run. This is one of the most famous home runs in baseball history. This is the 1960 World Series, and Bill Mazeroski hit this home run. Here's why it matters. This is what sets us apart. In Game 7 of the World Series, the timing mattered. In the bottom of the ninth inning, the timing mattered. And now this is known as one of the most famous home runs in baseball history. It's never been repeated since. You know, in 1960, there were over 2,000 home runs hit. In this game alone, there were 5 home runs hit. But this one stands out because the timing mattered. And that, again, comes into play in all areas. We see it happens in sports, right? We can see that time and time again. Cooking. Timing matters in cooking. If you don't know that timing matters in cooking, you best stay out the kitchen, right? Timing matters in cooking because if you cook too long, no one wants to eat what you have. And if you cook too short, you're making everyone sick, right? Timing matters in your finances and your purchases. Here's how we know this. Some of you were fortunate enough to buy a car before the pandemic. And some of you have had to buy a car since the pandemic happened. You paid almost probably double what that other person paid. Timing matters. Timing matters in your relationships. It matters, you know, when you ask that person out, when you propose to them, when you set that date for your wedding, then all your monumental steps in that romantic relationship, your timing matters. Timing matters in work. Here's how we know this, because most of you, I'm not going to say all of you, but most of you show up on time for work each and every day. And then you get your work done on time because you have projects due or you have things that have to be done at a certain time. And then we see that timing matters at work because what happens Friday afternoon? You watch that clock tick. And as it gets to that time that you know you're done, what do? You bolt out as quick as you possibly can because you are on the weekend. Timing matters. Timing matters when you sing. I hate to break this to some of you, but timing matters. I'm one of us, so you know, don't feel bad. People have told me that before. Justin, you best keep the singing to someone else, right? But it matters. It matters musically. I can't clap my hands to the beat. Those kids did so good, I can't even believe it, because I can't do that, right? Timing matters in your jokes and your humor. Some of you know someone, you say, man, that person thinks they're funny, but they're not. More than likely, it's because a part of it is their timing for their jokes is so horrendously bad. Or it's inappropriate, right? Have you ever been hurt by someone? What did they say? I was just joking. Well, you got a really lousy time of picking when to say jokes. Timing matters in your humor. It matters in all areas of life. That's what we're going to be looking at as we walk into Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So, right at the beginning, here's what's happening. The teacher, remember, the teacher is the author, and he enters into this poem, and here's what he has to say. He says, for everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. He says, there are going to be different seasons in life. There's going to be different times in life where you're supposed to do one thing, and then you're not supposed to do one thing. He says, there's a season for everything that you experience in life. There's going to be good seasons. There's going to be bad seasons. There's going to be seasons filled with joy. There's going to be seasons filled with pain and hurt. And what do we do oftentimes when we face those difficult seasons is we push them away. We run away from them as quick as we possibly can. We even fight outright against those seasons. But the teacher says, no, there's a season for everything. You can't avoid these different seasons. And so here's what we're going to be looking at today, that God gives us seasons in life so we can embrace them, not fight against them. We need to learn to embrace the different seasons that God has for us. And that includes the painful ones and the hurtful ones and the ones that are filled with sorrow. We need to learn how to be better at embracing those seasons so we can see what God truly has for us in that season of life. Now, here's what happens. The teacher, he goes on into this poem, and he walks through all these different seasons. We're actually going to walk through this line by line. He says there's a time to be born and a time to die. That makes sense, right? We were all born at one point in our lives. We're all going to, I'm sorry to break this to you, but we're all going to pass away at some point in our lives, right? He says there's a time to plant and a time to harvest. Speaking of farmers here, right? There's a time that you have to plant seeds and then you harvest the crops at the end of the season. Now, here's why this is so important. Because if you said, hey, I just enjoy the planting season, but you never harvest, well, what good is it? All your crops go to waste. They rot away. We can't choose one season over the other. Same thing if you said, no, I just love harvesting, but you never enter into planting. Well, guess what? You're not going to have much to harvest if you're not ever planting anything, right? There's a season for each thing. He says there's a time to kill and a time to heal. I hope for us we're not in that season of killing, right? But let's look at this more like conflict. That there's a time that we face conflict in our lives. And there's seasons where we're gonna experience conflict. You don't necessarily get to choose that. It's just going to be something that you experience. But he says there's also a time that you need to heal from that conflict. And a lot of times we go through the conflict and then we just keep moving and we don't take time to heal. It says you need to be able to do both. There's a time to tear down and a time to build back up. You know what this is like? Maybe you have seen something in your life that you just say, I don't like this about me. This isn't a good trait that I have. This is something I need to improve on. And what do? You tear that down. You bring that down one item at a time and then you build yourself back up in a healthy way. There's a time to tear down. And there's a time to build back up. There's a time to cry and a time to laugh. There are different seasons for the emotions that we have in life. He goes on, he explains basically the same idea. He says there's a time to grieve and a time to dance. We talked about that this past fall, that we need to grieve well. See, what happens if we don't grieve well is we can't experience the next season to its fullest because there's still something about that grief, something about that loss and that hurt and that pain that just sticks with us. And so when we get to enter into that season of dancing, we're carrying baggage into it. We're carrying continued hurt into it because we never dealt with it in our season of grief. The teacher says, no, you need to enter into that season of grief. You need to embrace that season of grief. You need to engage with it. You need to take that through to the fullest, and you need to see that through. So that way, when the season to dance comes up, when the season of joy comes up, you don't have anything holding you back. But that's hard. That hurts because we don't want to go through the season of grief. We want to push it away. We want to fight against it. But he says, no, there's a season for everything. You need to go through all these seasons. He says there's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. There's a whole lot of different reasons why scholars think that this could possibly mean. One of them is just about your preparation for building. And so you clear the land before you take, you know, the bigger rocks and you put those down, the bigger stones. That's just one reason. But that's good for us, right? To think through. There's a season of preparation before actually doing the work. And then he says there's a time to embrace and a time to turn away. You know what this is like because in your life, you've had different relationships where you've been really close to someone. And then there's that season where maybe you're just not as close. That relationship fades over time. Maybe it fades because of something hurtful that's happened and something bad that's happened. Maybe it's just a natural fading that happens over time. You're probably not as good a friend as you were with some of your middle school and high school friends as you once were. Because there's a time that you've embraced in that relationship, and there's a time that relationship has turned away. There's a time to search, and a time to quit searching. Searching does this really cool thing in us. When we search for something, we tend to build up some passion. We get excited about things. We think through things. But we can only do it so long. Otherwise, it becomes exhausting. And here's how I know this. When my mother-in-law passed away a couple years ago, we found a safe in her apartment as we were cleaning it out. And we were like, oh, dang, like, how do we get in this safe? It's locked, you know, there's a keyhole. And so we're like, we have to find this key. There could be a gazillion dollars in this. There was nothing in it, I promise you. There was nothing in the safe. But we searched, there was a group of us, and we searched her apartment for hours upon hours. We're looking for this key, and we're trying to find it. And you know what happened is we all grew weary by the end of it. And we stopped, we came together, and we said, we just need to stop for today. We need to, this is not doing anything good in any of us. So let's just forget about the key and we'll come back and we'll revisit this later. The next day we show up at the apartment and to do something else, and no joke, like 2 minutes there, this person comes up and they're like, hey, I found this key, right? And they found it like 2 minutes into it when we were looking for hours. But there's a time to search and there's a time to quit searching because of what it does inside of you. And then he says, there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. Let me say that one more time for some of you. There's a time to keep and there's a time to throw away. When I was a kid, my mom used to call me a pack rat. I would hold on to everything that I possibly could because I found this in the woods, or I hit this baseball, or I did whatever. And I would just keep and I would hold on to all these things because I thought that they were special in some way. And then, you know, I got to this point and I realized most of this is all just junk. And I need to get to that season of throwing away. There are things that we attach nostalgic and sentimental value, and then we keep doing it time over time after time. But we can't do that every time. There is a season for that. There are certain items and things that we can do that to. But the teacher says, you're going to create a mess for you if you don't ever have that season of throwing away. You need to go out to the trash can. You need to go to that big old blue dumpster out back, right? And you need to toss some of that stuff. Because otherwise it's just going to collect dust over time. He says there's a time to tear and a time to mend. Again, this is, think conflict. There's going to be conflict in your life. But how many of us are really willing to enter into that season of mending that conflict? When we have an issue with someone else, we need to be willing to enter into that time afterwards and try and reconcile. That's what God would want from us. That's what we've seen. God wants to reconcile with you and me. Why wouldn't he want us to reconcile with each other? And so instead of fighting that time of mending, instead of running away from that time of mending, we need to be willing to understand that this is a season of life that we each need to have. We need to be willing to try and reconcile after conflict in our lives. There's a time to be quiet and a time to speak. There are some of you in this room that you could go a whole day without saying a word. I don't understand that. I'm a talker. I love to talk. Lindsay is one of those people that she doesn't need to talk. That works out really well for us because at home at night, I just talk and talk and talk, and she listens and she loves it. At least that's what she tells me. She, right? But there's a season. There's a season where for me and some of you that we're talkers, we need to learn how to have that season of quiet. We need to have that season of learning how to listen. And here's a trick, a tool that I'm trying to teach myself, is when I enter into a conversation, because I'm a talker and that's my natural way to go, I try and make sure that I'm not saying the first word in the conversation. I try and sit back and hear what other people have to say first before I put any of my input, any of my thoughts, any of the ridiculous things that I might have to say. I'm going to make sure that I hear everyone else first. Do I do that 100% of the time? No, I still am learning through it. But that's how I try and do that. Now, some of you that don't love to speak, I need you to hear this, that you have things that are worthwhile for you to say. There are thoughts and ideas in your mind that the rest of us can learn from. And you need to be willing to enter into that season of speaking from time to time. And I know that's hard. I know that is so far out of your comfort zone. But the teacher tells us that there's a benefit if we enter into each season. And so even though you may be quiet, enter into that season of speaking just once in a while. It says there's a time to love and a time to hate. You guys have been through relationships like this, right? There's differences that happen in our relationships with each other. And then the last one, I think this last one is so important because it shows us something. There's a time for war and a time for peace. And here's what this shows us, is that the different seasons that we face in our lives are not always because of our choosing. See, we can enter into so many of these different seasons because we choose to enter into those seasons, because we want to enter into those seasons, because that's what our decisions in life have taken us to. But man, if our country went to war, I don't realistically have any say in that. I have no choice in the matter. But it's still a season of life that I need to learn how to live through. And that's not just true for this one particular season. This is true for a variety of seasons that we live in our lives. We need to be ready to engage and embrace those seasons of life, whether or not we've actually chosen to live through them. But you might say, hey, those are all seasons that the teacher was talking about in the past. What about today? There's a time to be single and a time to be in a relationship, right? There's a time to hustle for work and there's a time to invest in family. There's a time to be on socials. And guess what? There's a time to actually live in the moment. Don't worry about that perfect picture on your vacation. Spend time with your family. There's a time to spend and there's a time to save. There's a time to wear Crocs and a time to realize that nobody ever should. There's a time, I told you, timing matters, right? A time for generosity and a time to receive. There might be a time in your life that you can be so generous, but there might be a time in your life where you need to be able to receive the compassion that other people have for you. There are so many different seasons. This is just a few, right? But there's more and more, and you know what they are because you have lived those seasons. And here's what we know, those seasons that are so hard, that are so ugly, where's the struggle come? That the hardest thing to do in those difficult seasons is to trust in God's timing. That's going to be the hardest thing for us to do. But we need to be willing to take that step. We need to look to Him and follow Him in obedience, even in that most difficult time. And because that's so difficult, a lot of times, how do we try and escape it? We try and escape it by, if I can say yes to everything, if I can say yes to all these different things, maybe something will stick and I'll be able to get my way out because I'll say yes to the right person and that will just free me from this different season that I'm having in my life. And here's what I want you to know. That every time you say yes to something, you are essentially saying no to something else. So if you say yes to hanging with the guys on Friday night, you are saying no to spending that time with your wife and with your kids. If you say yes to that new sports car that you want, you are saying no to that savings that you had to replace your roof on your house. If I say yes every single time to Frank Pepe's Pizzeria in Warwick, most amazing place ever, right? If I say yes to that, I'm saying no to my health and to a better me. And so we need to be willing to say no once in a while. And that's so difficult for some of us. That's so hard at times. And here's a tool I want to give you that's going to help you as you learn to say no, is that when you say no, you're saying no for now, not forever. So when the guys ask you to hang out on Friday night and you say no, it's not no, I'm never going to spend a Friday night with you ever again. It's no, I haven't been with my wife and my kids for quality time in weeks. I need to give them this Friday night. I need to have that time with them. And then maybe next Friday or the Friday after that, we can do this again. But I just can't this time. It's when you say no to that sports car that you've wanted all your life. You're saying no for now. I need to repair the roof. I need to make sure that that's taken care of. And then sometime down the road, as I build up my savings more, maybe we can talk about getting that car again. You think I'm going to say no to Frank Pepe's for the rest of my life? No, there's no way, right? I'm going to see Frank Pepe later this week, right? But I'm going to say no for now. Because I can't have it every single day. And so I'm going to say no, so that way maybe I can eat something healthier, so I don't engage in that each and every time. No for now, not forever. Let's go back to the teacher. And here's what he is saying as he thinks through these different seasons. He says, what do people really get for all their hard work? He says, I've seen the burden that God has placed on all of us. You know what this feeling is like because you go to work and you say, man, this is such a burden. This is the same thing. What am I getting from this? My paycheck's not even big enough. This is not good enough. I don't get enough vacation time. And you feel this burden. The teacher knows what you're feeling. He understands what it is that you're feeling. But look at this. He says, yet, it's a key word here, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Every season is important. And so is there a burden that you carry in those different seasons? Absolutely. He says, but God has made each season beautiful, that they fall within his divine plan. And then he says that God has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, even though we have this glimpse of eternity, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. See, what the teacher is telling us is that we think way too micro, way too small. And so we look at our seasons of life in only the way that they impact us, and we struggle to see beyond those. He says, even though we have an idea, we have a glimpse into eternity because of our faith and because of our understanding and knowledge of who Jesus is, he says, we still can't see the greater plan of it all. And he says, you need to be able to trust. Remember, trusting God in your difficult seasons is the hardest thing to do, but you need to be able to trust that God has made everything beautiful in its own time. So even though it's so hard, even though it's so messy, even though you can't see the why, you got to be ready to be able to just understand that God has a much bigger plan than you do. Why? Because God gives us seasons in life so we can embrace them, not so that we fight against them. Here's how the teacher goes on. This is so important right here, verse 12 and 13. He says, so I concluded there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are the gifts from God. Remember, we talked about we all go through seasons, and then I said, hey, we need to embrace them. This is how. The teacher comes down to this bottom idea, right? He says, I concluded. This is what I've summed up. Through this poem and through all my thinking, I've summed up that even though things are difficult, even though there's this burden that carries with us, what do we do? He says the gift from God is that we need to make the most of each season. He says that you need to enjoy the fruits of each season. You need to enjoy the good things that are in each season of life. And it doesn't mean that there's still not going to be difficulty, but you need to do your best to make the most of each season. Over 10 years ago, Lindsay and I were able to go on our first like real family vacation. And we took the kids down to Disney like you do on your first family vacation, the first big one, right? And we went in February. And when we came to come home, our flight got canceled. And it was a year that there was just a string of snowstorms. So flights were all pushed back because everyone kept getting canceled. There was a string of more storms on the way. And we went to the desk at the airport and they said, hey, we don't know, we can't get you home. What we can do is we can fly you to Houston tomorrow. And then you can wait in Houston for 5 days. And we think we'll be able to get you a flight back home from Houston after 5 more days. So 6 days total we're talking. And we can just see the snowstorms, one after the other. And we're saying there's no way that flight's not going to get canceled too. We can't stay in Houston. So we ended up renting a car and driving home, the 20-plus-hour drive. And I don't know if some of you have ever seen that movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. But think of that. So if you haven't, think of traveling and everything that could go wrong does go wrong. Like absolutely everything that could go wrong does go wrong. And that's what happened to us. And we made this drive and it was just one thing after the next. But you know what? We were so fortunate. I'm so grateful to God that we had this attitude back then because I don't think I had learned this yet. But we just made the most of this. And we had the absolute best time on that trip back. A trip that we should have been able to be at each other's necks and just biting at each other and snapping at each other and just being angry about everything. And we look back on that, and that drive home was one of the most fun things that we ever did as a family, even though it came in the absolute worst of circumstances. We made the most out of a bad season. This is what we're asking you to do. This is what the teacher is asking you to do, to make the most out of those terrible seasons, out of those seasons where it feels like just everything that could go wrong does go wrong. And here's how he continues. He says, "And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him." See, he's saying right there, he says, listen, there's nothing that you can do to change it. Ultimately, God's plan is final. So you need to do your best to work within that and show God respect and awe in that time, to show him honor in that time, to give him glory in that time. Because you know when seasons go bad, what can we do? We can just go off the deep end and we can just say horrible things and we can hurt other people and we can cut them down. He says, no, during that time, you need to show God that you fear God, that you respect him. And that needs to grow you during that time. He says, what is happening now has happened before, and what will happen in the future has happened before, because God makes the same things happen over and over again. And we can read that and we can say, man, God sounds so boring. He just does the same thing over and over again. But I want to remind you that God is our heavenly Father. And some of you in this room, you're parents. And one of the things that you've learned as parents that's been most helpful to you is that children need consistency. And as you can be consistent in your punishments, as you can be consistent in your rhythms of life, as you can be consistent in your expectations for your children, you find that your children can navigate through life much better and that they can handle the curveballs that get thrown so much better because they've seen that consistency. That's what God offers us. He's not changing it up every single day. He's consistent. And so when we do hit those difficult seasons, we know how to navigate through those well. So I'm going to skip ahead right here and go to next steps. So if you can grab that connection card on the seat in front of you, here are a couple of steps that you can take that are just going to help you walk through this week, hopefully a little bit better. Here's our first next step: that I'm fighting against the season of life that I'm currently in because I don't like it. Please pray that I will find contentment where God currently has me. I get that. There are seasons that we just don't enjoy being in. And we say, why? Like that's the big question, right? Why do I have to live through this? Why do I have to suffer through this? But man, if we look at what the teacher taught us today, it's that we all have those seasons. And we need to be willing to go through those. It's not about running away from them. It's not about fighting against them. It's about how do we live through them to the fullest. And so if we're going to live through them to the fullest, we have to be able to find contentment in each one of those seasons. And so my hope is that you'll recognize this about yourself. You'll recognize that, hey, I just don't like where I am. But will you let us pray for you as a staff team, as a prayer team this week? We would love to be praying for you. We would love for God to be able to intervene and just help you find that contentment, help you find what you need to help you move through that season just a little bit smoother, maybe even a little bit quicker. But let's pray about it. Don't just grumble about it, right? Don't do it, nothing about it. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. Would you take that step? And here's our other next step: that I need to say no to something so I can embrace the season of life that God has me in. Pray for me as I work through this. Some of you need to learn to start saying no. Remember, it's no for now, not forever. But you have to start saying no. And so as you take a step back and look at your life, and maybe there are things in your finances, in your relationships, in just your work, in your flow of life, maybe there are things that you need to start saying no to. And maybe for some of you, there's no's that have to happen in multiple areas of life. Would you learn how to say no? Would you take that step? I know it's hard. I know it's no fun. It's a whole lot more fun to say yes to everything. But man, we really can't embrace the season that God has for us if we say yes to everything. Would you start saying no? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for how you provide us all with different seasons in life. And God, I say thank you, not just for the fun and the joyful seasons, but I say thank you for those seasons that have proved to be difficult, that I've experienced hurt and pain in. Because God, I know that ultimately they're a part of your greater plan. They're a part of your greater plan for your kingdom. They're a part of your greater plan for my own personal development. And so God, help us all as we try and engage and enter into and embrace these different seasons of life that you have for us. Help us to be able to say no where we need to. Help us to seek you out. And God, you know that for us, the hardest thing to do in those hard seasons is to give you trust and obedience. And I pray that you would help us all grow in that area. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.